Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company, and they're all in uniform.
This is Bill Goodwin, inviting all you servicemen and women to enjoy another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our tenor Jimmy Cash, and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie.
Oh, I'll get it, dear. You finish your breakfast.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh! Good morning, Mr. Postman. Why, Mr. Postman, you look rather worn out.
I have what is commonly called mailman bends. Or civil service crouch.
Oh, you poor man.
Oh, don't feel sorry for me. My wife and I know just how to cure it.
You do?
Yes. You see, my spine is really like a steel band. So my wife just puts her knee in the small of my back, and I straighten up with a terrific ping.
Oh, goodness. That's quite a trick.
Yes. Well, here's a special delivery letter for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's from our sponsor. Listen to this news, Mr. Postman. From now on, our radio program will be on the air Monday night.
Is that good?
Why, Monday is the night they do high-class drama, like Cecil B. DeMille's Radio Theater and Screen Guild. Say, maybe we'll be doing a dramatic show, too.
If you do, remember me. I was quite a thespian in my school days. I was the Vitamin Flint Heart of John Burroughs Junior High.
Really?
Yes. Would you like a piece of Serrano de Bergerac?
Oh, no, thank you. I never eat pastry in the morning.
No, I mean the play. Listen to this. Oh, Roxanne, with love I tremble. I love you. I am smothered. I am mad. I love you. I am faint. It is too much. Oh.
Oh, Mr. Postman, what pain, what suffering.
Yes, my back is killing me. Well, good day unto thee. And remember, retain a pleasant aspect.
Will be on Monday night.
Oh, I knew they were going to change it. So it's Monday night, huh?
Uh-huh. You know that's the night Cecil B. DeMille has his radio theater. So I think we ought to do drama, too.
Drama?
Oh, sure. I'll bet Mr. DeMille will be plenty worried when he hears us.
Yeah. He'll tear out hair by the handful.
Yeah, and I... I pity the person he tears it from.
Well, okay, don't worry. We're not going to do dramatics.
Oh, but, George, think of the great stories we can do. The story of Mrs. Parkington, the story of Mrs. Miniver, the story of Maggie Ettinger.
Maggie Ettinger?
Yeah, that's my beauty operator, and does she know some stories?
Gracie, you may as well drop this thing right now. I'm not a dramatic actor, and I'm not going in for drama.
But, darling, you have a great talent for acting. Oh, come on. Let me hear you recite something from Shakespeare.
Oh, go.
Oh, please, George, let me hear you do To Be or Not to Be. That is the question.
I don't know it.
Well, I'll help you. Now, come on. To be or not to be, that is the... Well?
Question?
Oh, you're wonderful. Oh. George, that's grand. Shakespeare must have had you in mind when he wrote Hamlet.
Yes, yes, yes. I guess so.
Well, come in.
Well, hiya, Burnses. What's a good word?
Hello, Belle.
Oh, have you heard the news, Bill? Our program is moving to Monday night.
No, really?
Oh, yes. And George and I are having an argument. I think that we ought to do serious stuff, the kind of thing that makes people cry. But George wants to tell jokes. Please give us your serious opinion. Do you think we should do drama?
Well, yes, Gracie, I do. Frankly, I think you're very good. And the man with you is only great.
Oh, Bill.
I mean it, George. I've never heard a finer, richer, more resonant voice.
Well, thank you, Bill.
So, Gracie, when you've picked out the play for next Monday, just call me and I'll be ready. So long.
Well, you see, George, everyone thinks we should do drama.
Sure. Just so they can do their stuff. Well, forget it. It's not for me.
Oh, George, don't say that. True, you're a great comedian, great as Jack Benny. But you're also a fine actor like Charles Laughton.
Oh, Gracie.
Well, you're a combination Charles Laughton and Jack Benny. It just so happens that your Laughton sticks out more than your Benny.
Forget it.
Well, folks, I brought you some more hot coffee.
Oh, Mrs. Regan, you haven't heard the news. No? Starting next week, Mr. Burns and I are changing our radio program to Monday night.
Are you now?
Uh-huh.
Then Monday's going to be a busy day around here. We'll have to change our washing schedule.
Well, yes, we will.
What day would you like to do it, Mr. Burns?
Never mind.
You see, Mrs. Regan, I'd like to do a dramatic program, but I can't seem to convince my husband.
Dramatic program is a fine idea. And I think you should do something like that excellent Irish play, The Informer.
Never mind, Mrs. Regan. Just pour me some coffee.
Coffee is a Joe Wanton. No, Danny, me boy. The jig is up, and there'll be no feeding of informers in this house. Fie on you, and the black name you brought on the honor of Ireland. Keep the snivelling little wretch covered with that gun, me girl, while I go out and call for help. Help! Help! Help!
Oh. You see what you got me into?
Don't move, Danny, me boy. I've got you covered.
Oh, no.
Jimmy Cash, our young tenor, sings for you A Little on the Lonely Side. Jim?
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side. You know, my dear, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. So if I'm seen with someone else, it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you more and more? Oh, how I miss your tender kiss and long to hold you tight. I'm a little
thank you.
now that our radio program is moving to Monday night, George has simply got to do drama. He'd only be great, you know.
You really think so?
Oh, yes. He's an actor from the top of his head to the tip of his toes.
Maybe. But it's that stuff in between you got to worry about.
Well, anyway, I've sent for a dramatic coach to come over and teach George a few things.
Like what?
Well, now, for example, Lionel Barrymore has great facial expression.
Yeah?
She'll give him that. Herbert Marshall has great diction. She'll give him that. Van Johnson has great... No, she couldn't give him that. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Regan. There she is.
Mrs. Burns?
Yes?
I am Elizabeth Stevens, the dramatic tutor.
Oh, well, come right in. My husband will be here in a few minutes. He's the one I want you to toot.
Oh, I see. Meanwhile, perhaps you'd like a sample of my ability.
Yeah, well, all right.
Now, here's my impression of a famous personality you're sure to recognize. Hello, Mother. Hello, Father. The color lilies are in bloom again. Such a lovely flower. Suitable for any occasion, really, it is.
Oh, that was wonderful. It sounded just like her.
Thank you. And next, I shall recreate a very popular Academy Award winner. Mr. Skeffington, I hate you. I hate you for what you did to my brother. You beast. I never loved you, Mr. Skeffington. I married you for your money. You fool.
Oh, that was wonderful. Simply wonderful. Who was it?
That was Miss Davis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. But I didn't know Joan was in that picture.
Quiet. Suppose we talk about your husband.
Oh, all right. I'm sure you'll have him ready for Shakespeare in no time.
Of course, diction isn't everything. In order to play such roles as Hamlet, a man needs a handsome physique. How would your husband look in type?
Oh, he'd be a dream in type. He has simply gorgeous legs.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well, his legs are so beautiful, they're actually jealous of one another.
Jealous?
Yes. His knees won't come near each other. As Bill Goodwin once put it, his knobs are snobs.
Well, I can hardly wait to see your husband in type. However, first I shall concentrate on his speaking voice. I must teach him to project pear-shaped tones from his stomach.
Oh, well, that'll be easy. He has a pear-shaped stomach.
Hello, dear. Oh, you've got company.
Oh, yes. I'd like you to meet Elizabeth Stevens.
How do?
How do? Please, not how do. You should say how do you do. Do. Nice and round. Project. Ooh.
Well, thanks for the tip, although I didn't ask for it.
No. You didn't ask for it. Ask.
You're darn right I didn't. And what's more, where do you come off?
George, come in the den a minute.
Okay. Didn't ask. Ooh. The idea of that dame picking on the way I talk. Say, has she got something to do with that dramatic idea of yours?
Why, no, George.
Who is she?
Why, she's our new laundress.
Laundress? Mm-hmm. Gee, and I almost insulted her. She certainly sounds high class.
Oh, she is. You see, the average laundress just does the clothes rough dry, but this woman went to a finishing school.
I see.
Graduated with honors. Magna cum laundry.
Okay, I'll put up with anything for a laundress.
Well, I thought that would work. I mean, I knew you'd cooperate.
Mrs. Burns!
Oh, excuse me, dear. Mrs. Regan is calling. Now, remember, humor the laundress.
Don't worry. Gosh, a laundress of our own at last. Now I can get my long underwear washed without waiting until summer to get them back. Take the underwear in and ask her. Miss Stevens, my wife just told me all about you.
Oh, splendid. I'm sure our association will be a happy one.
Yeah, me too. I brought these out to show you.
Those? Oh, yes. Your wife said you look quite handsome in them.
She did?
Matter of fact, I do look a little like Errol Flynn in them.
Aren't they a little baggy?
Yeah, but they'll be better after they're washed. How about giving them a try?
Very well, put them on.
Put them on?
Well, certainly. I can't do anything until you've put them on. I use the Stanislavski method, you know.
Oh, I guess I'm more used to the Chinese hand method.
There are many schools, but I'm sure mine will prove satisfactory. Now put them on and I'll start to work on you.
Will it take long to do the job?
Perhaps weeks.
Weeks.
Well, you seem surprised. I spent months on Gary Cooper.
Well, his are much longer than mine.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business, but what do I do while you're working on me? Just stand there?
Of course not. You walk up and down and say, "How now, brown cow, browsing in the green grass."
Miss Stevens, isn't there an easier way?
Oh, don't despair. When I'm finished, everyone in Hollywood will want to see you.
Well, I wouldn't let them.
Let's not be modest.
Well, look, how soon can I get back into my regular clothes?
Well, not until we've found, ironed out all the rough spots.
Now, wait a minute.
Yes. Please don't argue. Put them on now.
Okay. How now, brown cow, gazing in the green grass? This is disturbing.
Time for Felix Mills and his orchestra with "We Hear the Very Thought of You."
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Darling, how's Mr. Burns getting along with the dramatic teacher?
Shh. I didn't dare tell him she was a dramatic teacher. He thinks she's a laundress. That way she can still correct his speech and everything without him getting wise.
Mrs. Burns, you've always managed to get around your husband.
Yes, but it's getting to be quite a trip.
Say, Granny,
Gracie, I'd like to have you explain
something. Well, George, what are you doing in your long underwear?
That's what I want to talk to you about. That new laundress insisted I put them on before she'd wash them.
Oh, I see.
I feel silly.
Well, you look very cute, doesn't he, Mrs. Reagan?
Just like a big white bunny rabbit.
He does not look like a bunny rabbit. Does he? Mrs. Reagan, stop laughing. George looks very handsome in his long underwear. Honest, he does. Well, he does. Now, stop it. He's very handsome.
All right. That's enough. Believe me, if we hadn't been trying for 2 years to get along us, I wouldn't stand for this. Oh, gosh, someone's at the door.
Oh, it's only Bill Goodwin. I saw him through the window. You see what he wants, George. Mrs. Reagan and I are busy in the kitchen. Come on, Mrs. Reagan.
Just like a big white bunny rabbit.
Come in, Bill.
Say, George, I was... What's the idea of the long underwear?
Got a laundress who's as nutty as a fruitcake. She insists on washing the underwear while I've got them on.
Holy smoke, no wonder you always look like you've been through the ringer.
Come on, I'll put on my robe and let's go in. Well, here I am. This is Bill Goodwin.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? Say, you're kind of cute to be doing this kind of work. But then I guess you could say the same about me, huh?
are you...
Well, I've done a few things of my own. Yes, just light things.
Oh, where did you do them? At the Pasadena Playhouse?
No, on the back porch.
Back porch? Oh, I would like very much to get you on a stage.
Really?
Yes.
I'd like very much to get you on a back porch.
Oh, man, I am a dramatic teacher.
What?
Yes.
Then why did you want me to put on the long underwear?
I thought they were your tights.
Well, sister, if those are tights, his skin is awful loose.
Wait a minute. Did my wife hire you to sell me on drama?
Well, in a manner of speaking, that was the idea.
Well, you're wasting your time. Goodbye.
Very well, if that's your attitude. Going my way, Mr. Goodwin?
Well, I would be, miss, if you weren't so high class. I kind of like a hef chick.
Well, come on, tall, dark, and sudsy. Let's cut a rug.
Well, oil your hinges, Gate. I see you swinging. Goodbye, two shoes, you square from Delaware.
So long.
Jimmy Cash comes to the microphone now to sing the new Cole Porter ballad, I Love You. Jimmy?
I love you, comes the April breeze. I love you, echo the hills. I love you, the golden dawn agrees. As once more she sees daffodils, it's spring again, and birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melodies.
that wife of mine. Gracie, come in here. When she makes up her mind to something, nothing in the world...
Did you call me Spencer? Oh, I mean George. I keep thinking of you as Spencer Tracy now that we're going dramatic next Monday night.
We're not going dramatic next Monday or any of the following Mondays.
No?
No, and another thing. I found out you lied to me about that laundress.
Oh, yes. Yes, I lied to you. But I won't do it again. I swear I won't. You were right. I was wrong. I've been a foolish, headstrong girl, but from now on I'll obey. I swear I will. Your slightest wish is my command. Don't hate me, George. Beat me, kill me, but don't stop loving me. Oh, don't stop loving me.
Gee, honey, you mean that?
No, but with acting like that, we're crazy not to go dramatic.
Oh, fine. Now, Gracie, for the last time, just because our program will be on the air Monday night, we don't have to make ourselves the Cecil B. DeMille's radio theater.
But, darling, you mustn't be afraid of it. Things will be the same. You'll still take your bows, your applause, my salary.
Nothing doing.
Oh, but, George, I want you to be famous. I want you to have stature and dignity. I don't like what people are saying.
What are they saying?
Oh, they're saying, look, there goes the husband of Gracie Allen, the comedian. I don't like that.
Don't?
No, I want him to say, look, there goes the husband of Gracie Allen, the actress.
There's no use talking, Gracie. I'm sticking to comedy, and I've got a great joke for next week. So I'll say to you, W.C. Fields fell down the steps last night with 2 quarts of liquor and didn't spill a drop. Then you say, how come? And I say, he had it in him. don't you get it? He had it in him.
Oh, George Burns, that's the worst thing I heard in my whole life. You wouldn't dare do that on the radio. You better change to drama.
Excuse me, Mrs. Burns. Mr. Goodwin wants to speak to you on the telephone.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Regan. Now, don't go away, George. Hello? Yes? You what? You did? Oh, Bill, you're wonderful. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, Mrs. Regan,
yes?
Guess who Bill got for our program next Monday? Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer? Whoa!
You said it.
The French Barry Fitzgerald.
Yes. Oh, this is wonderful. Now I can do drama with Charles Boyer. Oh, I'm so glad George refused to go dramatic.
Gracie, I've been thinking this over. I've decided to give the drama a try.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, but George, I have a wonderful joke for you next week. You say W.C. Fields fell down the steps last night with 2 quarts of liquor and didn't spill a drop, and I say, how come? And you say he had it in him.
This is very confusing. I don't understand.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.